The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What you call making chicken salad out of chicken, you know what?
Shut your mouth.
Right off the top with the locomotion, just to give you a popular song. Wait, I picked this one. Sounds good. It's got a rhythm and a beat. I could dance to it. I give it an 82. At least people have heard this song.
That's true.
Let me reiterate for the people that are just tuning in. The year 1962 sucked for songs. Yeah. Garbage.
We'll tell the people why. I mean, at 2 o'clock, we add new listeners to this show. I know you'd be surprised, but they're you know, even though our listeners listen longer than any other show in the city.
I believe that.
Well, I was told, like, we hold our listeners longer, like, for an hour, which is crazy to have in radio.
Hold?
No. But we'll pick up new ones and lose some, so tell the people what we're doing. Why do they hear that old-ass music?
Really?
Yes.
Why don't you finish it?
Okay.
You started it.
I'll tell them.
Go right ahead.
I'm just letting you lead like you like to lead. Your thing.
Boy, you're on a roll today.
God. We do Way Back Wednesday every Wednesday. This week's theme was 1962. The reason we chose 1962 was because this is the year that the Astros were inducted into Major League Baseball. This was their first year along with the New York Mets. So 1962 is what we picked our songs from. Not a very strong year for music in America or the UK or anywhere else for that matter, but we managed to get 23 songs out of 1962 that were playable on air. So that's why you're hearing some old ass music.
And we promise not to do it to you ever again. Cuz it's awful.
Are we never going to choose the 60s again, because there was some decent rock in the late 60s, early 70s?
I would be okay with not doing it, but whatever you guys
I think we go like 1952 and see what happens.
See, I don't I'm kind of done with the 70s.
It'd just be a bunch of
60s
crooning.
And 50s. I'm just kind of done with that for a while.
The 50s I think is pushing it. I think we should stick to the, you know, above 65.
I mean, Ray Charles was happening in the late 50s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, some of his releases from, that's what I was telling you guys. He had a release, one song in 59, but it was on the charts in 62. So that's,
yeah, well,
different.
But there was a lot of racial injustice in terms of where he could play, where his music could play.
See the movie.
Yeah.
Brandon asked, possibly, is there a funner team than the Astros right now in baseball?
Funner?
Yeah. Is there a funner team right now to watch than the Astros?
I don't know if there's a more enjoyable team.
What are you, you correcting his English?
People correct us. I'm correcting them. Funner.
Yeah. I mean, there's some young teams that are making a little bit of noise. The Braves are doing pretty well right now. The Brewers, the Cardinals, the Angels, Toronto put up, 14 yesterday? It's early, though. Remember, I made a list of teams that I thought would compete for a wild card and then fade. About half the teams I just named are on that list, and I still think that that's going to be the case. It's a fun watch right now if you're an Astros fan, picking up where they left off in the World Series. So
this is what I was worried about too. I was worried about whether it be a hangover from the World Series or maybe complacency would set in a little bit with some of the guys. You know, guys would be more worried about now getting paid and getting their contracts.
You're worried about that? Hashtag never settle. Hello.
Hashtag never settle. I had a few concerns, but to see the way this team has performed and played, it just solidifies that this team is tight-knit. This team is going about their business the right way. Even with Beltran out of the clubhouse, I was worried about the fact that maybe that these guys would be a little bit more me, but no, this has been fantastic. This is the start that I wanted, but I wasn't sure we were going to get, and it's been great to watch.
Word.
So, yeah, that's great.
Brother Bear on Twitter has a question for us. Otani gives food for thought. Who is or was the best hitting pitcher in MLB history? Rick Ankiel, Noah Syndergaard, Madison Bumgarner, Giovanni Gallardo, or other?
I'll tell you one that doesn't get enough credit for it because he switched to the American League. CeCe Sabathia was a stick, too.
Okay.
But overall, as the best hitting pitcher, I mean, there's some pretty good options. I think Mad Bomb's going to get the most credit because he goes yard. But and Rick Ankiel, I'm not sure that counts because of the fact that he was originally a pitcher, but then he was actually a full-time outfielder for several years. But
I'm surprised you and Brother Bear and anybody else that was out here naming names didn't mention the Babe. Babe Ruth is the greatest hitting pitcher of all time.
Well, I wasn't alive, contrary to popular belief. And Barry Warner didn't tell me enough stories about Babe Ruth.
I'm gonna say Babe Ruth, and then you can make your list.
Okay, but of more modern era. And I know we're missing somebody.
Well, that wasn't the question. Who is or was the best hitting pitcher in MLB history?
You and your technicalities. If you don't say,
I'm reading his question. It's not a technicality. History.
I threw one back at you.
Okay, well, then we can address that one next. What is it?
It helps me answer the question. Of the modern era, there has to be a couple of pitchers that we're forgetting that were decent sticks.
Yeah, Mike Hampton.
Because Kershaw's not a bad hitter. He had two hits in his first start.
Mike Hampton.
Yeah, Mike Hampton's a good call.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Hampton was a good hitter.
He could hit. He would pinch run.
There's a great athlete. I know that there's someone even pitching nowadays that came up in the last couple of years that people were talking about. You have to honor him like a regular hitter in the lineup the way he swings the stick. So there are guys out there, and maybe you guys can throw some suggestions.
Bartolo Colon?
No, he's an eater, not a hitter.
Did you not forget the majestic home run that he finally hit?
Finally, yes. First one ever.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you guys, you talk about being a crier all the time. And
I am a crier. Yeah. I will cry a lot.
And one of the other games we didn't cover, about a team that we were talking about, the Brewers, beat the Cardinals yesterday.
Yep.
So Ryan Braun, who ironically in their opening series in San Diego against the Padres was rumored to be almost done, traded to the Dodgers for Matt Kemp and prospects, but then Dodgers changed their mind.
If you get traded for Matt Kemp, you're done.
Yeah, and so the Dodgers kind of pulled back because they didn't want to give up the prospects that the Brewers wanted. Well, good thing they didn't, because the next night, Braun hit a walk-off home run for the Brewers to beat the Padres. Now they go home, and they're playing the Cardinals, and you put it on the rundown. It was a crazy game. The game started with back-to-back home runs.
Yep.
And then with the Brewers trailing by one in the bottom of the ninth, Brandon Yelich gets the first ding-dong.
Good pickup.
Ties the game. And then to finish it, Bob Uecker with the call, Mr. Braun was at it again.
In the game for the crew, and here's Ryan Braun. On a big home run, the pitch. Ryan Braun sends it to left center and deep. Get up! Get out of here! Gone! For Ryan Braun, he just hit a walk-off out of here! And the Brewers have come from behind to beat the Cardinals back-to-back home runs.
I mean, that was no Japanese baseball Ohtani home run.
But you talk about being a crier. And it's one of those things. I grew up with Bob Uecker. Yeah. And the reason
that sounds nothing like Bob Uecker.
He's getting up there.
I don't know why that sounded different, but that sounded nothing like the Bob Uecker that I'm used to hearing.
My dad was old school radio guy. My dad had the radio on everywhere we went, from the car to the garage. If everybody was outside, the radio was on, and it was always on the Brewers and the Bucks and the Badgers and the Packers.
That was back when people ended every sentence with C, right? Let me tell you.
We didn't have TVs.
Listen over here. See,
we didn't have TVs.
See?
So we had to listen to everything
Bob
on the radio.
Bob Uecker's the greatest baseball announcer, see? Go ahead, sorry.
So because we didn't have TVs either, we just listened to everything on radio. But at the same time, those are the voices of my childhood.
Right, right, right.
And everybody has their signature call. But Uecker's was always get up, get up, get out of here, gone. And it sends chills down my spine every time because it just reminds me of my dad and how, he was a sports fan, but he was a radio sports guy. And those were the calls of my childhood. And it's crazy that, he's gone. He's passed away now almost 10 years. And that call right there, calls from Uecker that sound like that will always get to me.
Cool.
You're going to make a joke.
Nope. Yeah, I was asking Nick if I could say a word.
Yeah, I was wondering what you were doing.
I was going to ask you if I could say a word because I was going to make a comment.
You can ask during the break, sir.
That's why I waited. I was going to wait.
It's another great song.
It's not bad. She's moving up and
back. Song sucks.
Animal House kind of song, Nick. Not some house of crap that you were listening to.
Oh, look, it's only one of 97 different versions of the twist. Twist in the Night Away. You know, you realize, Nick, that the twist was the equivalent of, like, Soldier Boy.
No.
Yeah, like, this was a dance, and so they would sing about the dance, like, you did the Soldier Boy. Like, this is like the Cupid Shuffle back in the day. This okay. was this is the 1962 version of the Cupid Shuffle. Stupid.
You're just so belligerently negative towards everybody else. All right, your boy's on hold. We'll see if he stays there.
Are we going to talk Rockets?
Yeah.
Even though you guys didn't watch
Mike
it,
doesn't I'll talk want Rockets. To. I saw the highlights.
Okay.
All right, we got Rockets still to talk about. OU Mike wants to talk about baseball pitchers. That ought to be interesting. That and a whole lot more. It's hour number two on a Way Back Wednesday of the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
We're having a party, dancing to the music, played by the...
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Because we're back on Dick. The Usual Suspects. Why do you even do that?
Because
you mess with a mic stand that you know has been giving you problems since we got the new desk, and here you are fiddling with it. And Nick and I both at the same time saw, we're like, why would you even do that?
Hey, did you send me that audio that you want me to try to open?
I don't want you to.
Guess what? I'm not going
to
open
I sent it to see if you smart ass with your computer that could go airborne and get to space. With all the stuff you got on it, could actually Nick and I couldn't ours wouldn't play it.
I would open it, but screw you, I'm not.
It wouldn't open on the work computer or my Mac. So
yeah, mine either.
And after Barry spilled Diet Coke in his, I don't imagine it's going to open up on his.
Imagine
laptop.
That a link that Joel sends doesn't work. Go figure.
Yeah, that's not shocking. I'm not going to lie. Look at the face he's giving you. You are on video stream.
Good.
So.
Yeah. Good. Right. Document that.
The beta URL.
Mark it down.
What is the URL? I want to pull up the video.
For what? The Astros?
Yeah, some Oriole just kept running the bases and stopping and starting, and then he ended up scoring.
Well, that's what happens.
Throws down 2-1.
All right, let's take OU Mike's call.
It's your call.
He wants to talk about baseball pitchers. You can only imagine what gay innuendo this is going to be.
We're going to talk about bowels.
OU Mike, what's up?
You guys talking over Sam Cook. Unprofessional.
Yeah, our bad. You're right.
I believe Robin Ventura always said Nolan Ryan was a pretty good hitter.
Love That's it today?
That was a good
that
one.
That was clean.
That was classic.
Good. And we got the laser.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's the OU Mike we need more of. Not the other day where it made no sense what the hell he was talking about. Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was being funny or not. I have no idea. That's the OU Mike that we need. I dig it. Okay. What?
There was something to say there, but no.
No? All right. No. So you guys didn't watch the Rocket game last night, I take it.
Nope. Said it was side by side. I was watching both.
Okay. So what did you think? Any thoughts
Harden
on last
was fantastic.
Night?
Fantastic.
You don't even know.
I do. I said my computer was up. I was checking the box score, and then I was checking highlights.
I will say this. The presser, when they lost to the Spurs, and Mike D'Antoni gave us all those quotes. That told me, in my opinion, that he knew James Harden and Chris Paul was going to play before that game. Not just before yesterday's game, but before the Spurs game. And that's the reason why I knew for a fact that Mike D'Antoni was kind of giving what the press wanted, and it was a bunch of quotes. I just totally believe that.
Oh, really?
When you consider James Harden, who always wants to play, and then Chris Paul, who was clearly upset after the Spurs game, before the Spurs game, when he found out that he wasn't going to play, I mean,
he says all that, and then you look at the box score, and guess what it says? Trevor Ariza did not play. Rest. So what? That's your starting small forward. What happened to, I want these guys clicking up? Luka Mbamute is not your starter.
So that's so a good
you
point.
You can't come out and chastise everybody and be like, these guys got to play. By the way, he's not playing. What? Well, which one is it, coach? Do you want him running at full strength or not?
Ariza's not usually a guy that's short on minutes, though. I mean, he plays a lot, even when he doesn't perform.
He didn't play at all. So, I mean, that whole notion of trying to get them back as a unit, I get it. But at the same time, you know you got to be smart enough to have these guys healthy. I mean, look again.
At his age, too, Trevor's minutes are always up there.
Ryan Anderson, not that it's a huge loss for the Rockets, we've all admitted.
I think between Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni, they actually went down the hallway and tried to pay someone off for doing that.
Nancy Kerrigan?
Yes.
I mean, but again, that there by the grace of God goes Capella or Harden. So you've got to be you can't play scared and you can't not play them at all. And I get that, but at the same time,
well, to your point, take Ryan Anderson's name out of that and put in Chris Paul.
Yep,
put in one of those guys and say, hey, oops, last night in a game that really didn't matter to this team, you lost so-and-so because of a freak injury.
Now, smartly, he pulled the starters with about 3 minutes to go thereabouts because the game was out of hand. So it wasn't like, no, we're going to keep running our offense so we can make sure. He was at least smart enough to do that, but still Harden with 34 minutes, Chris Paul with 33 minutes. Everybody else that started played less than 30 minutes. I mean,
that's a good win, too, because we said, thankfully, this week doesn't have to be when, you know, you don't have to win these games. It isn't, you know, hanging by the edge of your seat basketball because it's a tough schedule. That's a Washington team that's fighting for their playoff positioning lives, and you hammered them.
They looked bad, though.
They did. And Wall, everybody's going to say, well, Wall's trying to fit in and fit back in. But look, there was something to the fact that they were playing great basketball with him out for a good stretch.
Yeah.
And then it got publicized, and then that was the deal that they had to deal with. But overall, something's wrong with that whole chemistry there, too. And something may have to go in the offseason. Look for Washington to pick up the phone with San Antonio. I'm just throwing this out there as it popped into my head.
Uh-oh.
But if things continue to go south with Kawhi Leonard, look for Washington and San Antonio to have a discussion or two about how about John Wall for Kawhi Leonard.
John Wall was a minus 18 on the floor, scored 9 points.
But you know he's an all-star.
That's not a good night for a guy that.
But if you're looking for a decent
minutes.
Replacement, Joel's kind of right. I mean, he's on to something because I feel like if you're going to get a decent replacement, you're not going to get someone like a Kyrie.
No, we always say you're never going to get equal value for a superstar when they're traded. If you look at the history of the league,
but that's as equal as you're going to get.
I could see something like that at least be discussed. That just popped into my head as you were saying that. But yeah, because something's not right in Washington, and we know something's not right in San Antonio, and you know Greg Popovich can control the John Wall off the court antics and crap in the locker room and get him to play at his best because he is an all-star.
Well, this was only his second, third game back?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So he played against Charlotte. They won that game. He didn't play against the Bulls, and they lost. And then, of course, the loss last night against the Rockets. And it was a thorough-ass whooping. I mean, let's be real. The Rockets came out and ran their offense, and it wasn't even close. My big dilemma from this game, and maybe you guys can help me on the other side, but I'm having a hard time figuring out what Street Fighter character is Gortat? Is he more Guile or
Polish
Saget?
Hammer,
I can't figure it out. Or is he Guile or Zangief?
It's the Polish Hammer.
No, but look those guys up and you tell me because I can't figure it out. I'm gonna go with he's a skinny Zangief, but I don't know. He could be Guile. I don't know. He's definitely a Street Fighter character, though.
I love Street Fighter, so I'll tell you in a second.
Okay, you
dude
tell
is still
me.
Going with the mohawk.
Yeah, he said, I don't care.
Zangief with a mohawk is what he is.
Zangief has a mohawk.
Does he?
Yeah, but he's big. He's a big guy.
Guile
has somewhat of a mohawk, but he's a thinner version.
I would go with Zangief.
It's like if Zangief and Guile had a baby, it would be Gortat. But you're saying Zangief? I'm with you. I'm going to go Zangief. Well, maybe he's got an eating disorder, makes himself throw up after he eats. That's Zangief.
Glad we figured that out.
You've never played Street Fighter, Joel?
Nope. What? Nope. But I'm sure that Daryl Morey will be drafting a guy that can for his e-gaming team.
Have you ever played video games?
Yeah.
Like what?
The system before Atari.
ColecoVision?
I had Atari. I had ColecoVision.
That little football game with the line.
What the hell is that?
Oh, yeah. There was ColecoVision. That's the only one that had the rights to Donkey Kong and some of the other ones.
Do you remember that handheld football game?
Had that one.
That with the lines on it?
Coleco and Mattel, yep. Had those. Yep, okay. Those were good.
All right. Well, those aren't technically video games.
No, but I played video games, too. I just...
Because I thought Atari was like the very first video game system.
Pong was the first one ever, officially.
Well, that was on Atari.
What the hell are you guys talking... What are you talking about? No,
Pong was a separate game system, and then Atari came after that. Look it up.
I thought Pong was on Atari, and that was the first game.
Nope.
Look okay.
Four Seasons, baby.
Good stuff.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They have been family-owned and operated in the Houston area for over 30 years, and right now Mike and Tammy Gust are going on like 15 or 16 years as the primary owners of American Wheel and Tire. Their name says American Wheel and Tire, but it's so much more. Yeah, you can get custom wheels and tires, and if you have damage to a tire or a rim, even if it's a stock rim or tire from a car that was just driven off the dealership lot, they can fix it. They can replace it, and they can do everything for you with a lot cheaper prices and a lot more customer service than the big-name stores. That means that if the big-name stores are telling you you got to replace that tire, it's too damaged, or that rim is just definitely not going to work, you got to get a brand new one. In most cases, they can fix both and save you a lot of money in the process. I've been good friends with these guys. I've been doing business with them for over 15 years, and I can assure you they're never going to steer you wrong. They are honest. They are upfront, and because they are local, they have a warehouse just down the street. And they can make sure that everything is done to your vehicle in a short time frame so that you are ready to ride as quickly as the day you brought it in. It'll be done that same day in most cases. A lot of pro athletes in Houston go to American Wheel and Tire for a simple reason. They take good care of them. They have quality products at a very, very fair price. And great customer service. They are located at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, or you can go to AmericanWheelAndTire.com. And as I mentioned, so much more than wheels and tires. Check them out for Kevlar wraps, steps, bumpers, and lights for your SUV or your pickup truck. And all the different ways that they can customize your car for that one-of-a-kind, unique look. A lot of the vehicles they've worked on, the pictures are on AmericanWheelAndTire.com. But check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by American Wheel and Tire, 290 and 34th Street.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects in the award-winning hour number two of A Way Back Wednesday.
The delay on this
is ridiculous.
On the video?
Yeah, Nick's got to go shut the door so the whole station
Why are you shutting the door?
I'm concerned for you because AD, when you need something fixed, AD's the one that's going to come here and fix it.
We're on in his office.
I'm trying to look out for you. Next time I won't look out for you.
Listen, AD can't control the delay. I'm not blaming him on that. He came in and fixed the microphone stand. AD's the champion around here.
Okay.
AD's the hero that we all need and love.
He didn't ride a camel.
Well, that's true. Oh, look, did you change the video?
Yeah, I have to change it from the two angles that I have.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to go to a black screen during the commercial break, which I didn't. So if you guys did anything inappropriately.
Now you're like,
this is going to be interesting.
TV truck directing.
Yeah.
I can't wait for everyone to tell me how fat I am every day on the video.
Yeah, y'all both look bigger on TV.
Well, it adds 30
pounds.
7 pounds. What? I said 37 pounds. Does it not add 37 pounds?
It adds some weight. Like your arm looks bigger.
Oh, look, let me flex.
Not in a good way.
That'll take 15 minutes now to show up on the video. We need to do a clock to see how long the delay is. So I'm going to give out the website. You can go through.
It has to be like 30 seconds or more,
Nick's
right?
Like, don't you do it, bastard. It's at least 30 seconds in delay.
I would think. It seems that way anyway. So Did you? I'm just looking at the rundown, but there's some disturbing stuff going on in sports.
Yeah, real quick, though, one more note from the Rockets game last night that I found to be a little bit interesting. Harden missing the triple-double by an assist, and they tried to get it to him early. Chris Paul setting the back, you know, setting the pick for Capella, but he also held the guy around the waist, so that got called. And then after that, there was a little bit of effort to get him that 10th assist, but I was glad that they just sat him down and said, you know what, forget it, it's not happening.
A very Rockets thing to do. You read my mind, because the one thing that I was surprised about was they weren't going to get him some charity assist to make sure he got another one. It really did surprise me, looking at the numbers going, oh, come on. That's the Rockets thing to do was, even if they were up like 20 with 3 minutes to play, they'd put him back in just to get that one.
Yeah, so they sat him, and then afterwards, there was two telling things in his quick little on-court interview that he did with Bart. Mm-hmm. The first one was they asked him, your coach D'Antoni said you guys were going to come out more focused. And he said, yeah, San Antonio got us. And I think it sounded like that the Rockets fully expected to run the table and had the confidence that they could do so, and then let one slip when they played San Antonio and got, and it happens. But you could tell that maybe that was a wake-up call that, ooh, you know, we can't just relax and do whatever because we're that badass. We're going to have to take all of these teams serious. So,
yeah, I mean, Nick, you were saying...
And then the other,
you thought there was a little bit more fluff on the D'Antoni side of it, maybe from the press conference side. But maybe Barry has a point from a player's perspective, though. There was something to be learned and taken from that game in the fact that it isn't always going to be as easy as they may have thought it would be. Because, look, if they've had two streaks as long as they've had, and they had 11 three. Going into the San Antonio
they
game.
They two 14s and a 10 or 11 or something
like that?
Well,
I'm saying. This was 11, and they hadn't lost till San Antonio, and they already had two 14 or more. They probably thought, we can do this again. We can ride it out, like you said. And this was maybe a good reality check. Because the other thing is, I thought last night was going to be a test of a team that was hungry and trying to survive in the East and try and move up the standings, that it would have been a tough game. And when you look at what the game turned out to be, they very easily can start feeling good about themselves and starting getting caught up in all this hype and going, yeah, you know, we can beat anybody. We're just waiting for Golden State. And that's where you can get caught.
Yeah. You want to make sure. I mean, I think for the players, that complacency, it's probably a good thing that they lost that San Antonio Spurs game. It's probably good that they got that little slap in the face and a wake-up call that, hey, you know what? We've got to stay focused, and we can't take a night off, and we're not good enough to take a night off against teams that, you know, have the potential to beat us like San Antonio, a top-four team in the West. So,
I think, look, Mike D'Antoni could, in most cases, and Joel can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but he can only go by the word of the training staff and the doctors as to how serious any injuries or how banged up they are, you know, in terms of playing. And so I feel like most of the players, if not all, are capable of playing. You know what I mean? And so
right.
I can hear you typing too.
I know. I don't know what you guys want me to do. I can't help
Stop typing.
No, I'm responding to a listener that asked about the stream, and I'm saying that the link's not available yet.
But yeah, I mean, I think in his mind he knows how banged up his team really is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I do think there's a certain amount of truth to him saying that, yeah, you got to have a rhythm. But what I feel like, and maybe you can describe it as fluff, but I feel like he was given quotes because he could. You're afforded a press conference like that when you have 60 plus wins. I just truly believe that. He never talks like that. He never talks like that.
I'll tell you a couple things. So the other part of the Bart Ennis interview, he asked James about the triple-double. And again, this is on the court. This is not the post-game press conference. This was on the court. Yep. But he just said, well, you were one assist shy of the triple-double. And James's response was, yeah, we'll have another shot at it. So I don't think he was too concerned about it, which is good. He smiled, and, you know, I think he knew.
Yeah.
And they tried, but that was also good to hear that it wasn't, you know.
That's from a maturity standpoint.
Yeah.
So, a big thing.
So that was good. The other part of the post-game, during the actual press conference with Mike D'Antoni, I believe it was Berman, but I'm not sure, somebody asked about Gerald Green. And he very specifically said, yes, he's definitely in our rotation. He's going to play, depending on the matchups, I don't know how much, but he's earned the right to play on this team. He likes that. He's called him instant offense. So I guess they all like the fact that he comes in and just chucks up 15 shots.
Yeah. with very little decision. Like sometimes I'm not really happy with his decision making in terms of 3-point shots, but he does have an energy that he brings to the table.
But here's the thing. It's an easy decision if you're Mike D'Antoni, because what's your other choice? Joe Johnson has crapped the bed. Yeah. And everybody keeps sticking up for him and say, just wait when you need him in the playoffs because he's a mid-range guy and a post-up guy. I'm going to wait, but I'd rather wait with him sitting on the bench, and I'll take my chances with Gerald Green because he looks a step slow. He doesn't look like he's fit into the offense, even though it's Mike's offense that he ran in Phoenix when Joe was there. Joe's a different player at a different age.
Yeah, and that's why I like Mario Elie's point, I think, is at least interesting. I don't know if it's true or not, that Joe Johnson's experience will come out in the postseason. He just needs to hit more shots.
Well, Nick, they don't know about his opinion unless they check the two-man game on Saturday.
SB Nation Radio.
Yes. But you're right. Hopefully his experience will help, kind of like a Beltran in the locker room with the Astros a year ago. We'll see how that plays out. But in terms of if you have to set a rotation and shorten it, Barry, I think if one thing we've taken away and learned in this final stretch of games is he's earned his spot in the rotation. It's good to hear D'Antoni say that.
Yep.
The other thing to Nick's point that does need to be addressed, I can tell you, that medical staff is not just something that gives you that like in years past in different teams and different sports, they just give you suggestions and then you make the call. The medical staff of the Rockets will come to the team and the coaches and say, so-and-so is not playing today. So-and-so is not practicing today. And it's not a discussion that happens afterwards. That's the final call. So
I didn't know that.
That's how they...
And Mike D'Antoni's kind of alluded to that before. He's like, look, I just wait for them to tell me, and if he can play, I'll ask him how he feels, and he'll play.
Now, D'Antoni will make a call on a guy resting. I can see that. But in terms of an actual health-related player don't play situation, the medical staff will have the final say.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so there you have that. All right, we'll continue to roll on. I believe it could be. Oh, yeah, it's got to be. Based on the subject matter, Jerry is on hold. We'll get to Jerry as we continue to roll on. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest and be like Jerry, 713-780-3776. I see you. HRNP listener line, call, text, hit us on Twitter. What's up?
You have a stalker. They've guessed your age based off of where you lived. This is creepy. But I do know how old you are now.
Text messages?
Yeah. Yeah, you have a stalker.
Well, then they have too much time on their hands. They should take up video games or maybe a fish tank. All right, here we go. Final hour of the show. Back with a whole lot more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Down, doobie doo, down, down. Comma, comma, down, doobie doo, down, down.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, yeah. If we get the stuff going on in the breaks with audio, you got the white man's overbite going right now.
Look, he's taking pictures of it. You dirty SOB. You know what?
Your audio up.
I'm going to curse, and then you can't do it. I'm going to wait 87 seconds, and I'm going to say the word I asked you if I could say, and then you're going to miss the opportunity.
Better not.
You're going to have to go dump it, and you're going to miss it.
Email it directly to the FCC and I don't say this care. Guy needs Do to be it. Removed.
You know what? Can't get in trouble.
Let it's me just tell you something. If they get the audio and video from breaks, we'll all be removed.
Boy, how about that?
That's but true. Technically, the audio and video is only on like online, which that's not regulated. Isn't that correct?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, you can stream and say whatever you want.
I told you what they do to my wife.
But TV, that's different.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that didn't come down from the government.
No. When the TV goes to commercial, if they're still just streaming only and picking up the announcers, it's not technically TV. It's technically the internet, and that's when armchair quarterbacks can start critiquing and sending something to the station going, did you hear Barry, Nick, and Joel in that break?
But you only get in trouble from your employer.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not FCC.
You get in trouble from your employer, not from the government.
Like when we go to break and I say the F word and all that, that's just us. That has nothing to do with the FCC. If it goes off over the stream, oh well. No one cares.
That's why. Oh, there's going to be people that care.
Oh, well, then they need to change the channel.
Get a fish tank.
Get off the stream then.
Get a fish tank and suck it.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Jerry I'll take it. Bring it. Let's go. Jerry's on.
Hey,
what's up, Jerry?
Right, this show has gone off the rails. Let me bring back some sanity here. So, Joel, yeah. You don't play. You're like the guy that plays. Like you played all the old video games when the technology was garbage and crap.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the technology got better, you bailed on it.
It's not. So you're like, I bailed
technically,
on it,
you're
Jerry?
The guy. Go ahead.
I actually played sports, and I actually could play them well. So I just kept playing them, and I never kept up with all the video game technology. And there are times that
are
I
you
look
the guy?
At it.
So when you so basically, you're the guy with the 5 CD carousel, right? That MP3 came out, and you're like, nah,
no,
I got my 5 CD
no.
carousel. That's all I need. And
no,
you're like,
I'm the guy
yeah,
with
like,
the Gran
oh, play,
Torino.
Play that Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, and you hit like this three. And
I
was like,
no.
And you're like, oh,
I'm
wait,
the
no,
guy
no,
with the Gran Torino that has an 8-track player. I have the Gran Torino with an 8-track player. I want you to get that straight. So I can't shuffle unless the tapes go bouncing around in the front seat. That's my idea of the shuffle. I just throw the 1 8-track into the player.
I love that Jerry did the seat.
He had the ghetto one, too. That thing, you heard that motor like wheezing. Like,
oh, my God.
And I will say, Yankee fans, I've been listening to you guys for a little while right now. You guys got me rolling today, but Yankee fans, we are a jerk.
No,
like,
you're horrible.
We will boo grandma. Like, yeah. If our pasta is undercooked, we'll boo grandma. That's not how that day you suck.
You call this a stromboli, you dumb bitch. Like, that's not what you say to your grandma.
So you know that Stanton went deep today, Jerry? And of course they cheered him. They went crazy. They went crazy nuts for him.
I don't boo. I mean, why are you going to boo? You keep him happy. He's got to be here a long time.
You keep
him happy.
Dude, you get Stanton knowing he's going to strike out.
I remember as a little kid, my dad used to take me to the old Yankee Stadium and like the bleacher creatures. Those guys would throw batteries at people. Like, they're not all there. Okay, I'll admit, Yankee fans are not all there.
Oh, no.
Hey, listen, I'm almost in. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've told this story before, Jerry, but when I used to have to go to New York for broadcast meetings once a year, I'd get Yankees tickets. And I got Yankees tickets in the new stadium, and they were playing the Rays when the Rays were good. And there was a Rays fan. And early on, it was a big series late in the year, and a Rays fan started standing up and looking at the section and just giving it to Yankee fans. And there were two dudes with their chick sitting in front of me. And they let it go on for a while, and then they started the chant, "Sit down, a-hole," and the whole section started doing it in unison.
That's a Yankee thing.
Yeah, and then at about the fifth inning, the dude said, "Babe, you're probably not going to like this, but hang on." And he looked at the Rays fan, and he goes, "Say one more word, and I'm going to my car, I'm getting my mole gun, and I'm going to freaking shoot you. You got a choice."
He's like, white man can't jump. Go to my gun.
And the whole
section. Go to my car. Get my other gun. Shoot everybody.
I'm with like four other guys, and they're like, oh, hell no. If he gets up and leaves, we're going somewhere else and sitting. He was dead serious.
I went to a game when they had Randy Johnson, right? He got lit up the whole game. They were losing 6-0. This guy was in the bleachers, right? He had all red on. Everyone's like, it was like 95 degrees in the sun. Like, shut up. Sit down. And they hit like 5 solo home runs. Every time he's up, he's dancing. They're all looking at the cops. The cops are like, oh, dude, like, you're not making our job easy. Then, bottom of the ninth, you score like 6 runs or 7 runs, whatever it was. They come back. They win the game. It was like a red ant surrounded by an army of black ants. They descended on this guy. The cops like literally grabbed him and were like, you need to go. You need to go now. We cannot protect you.
That is too funny.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, hey, listen. Let me do my Ohani home run call in Japanese. Ready?
No, don't be racist, okay. Jerry.
What a year.
Why is it going to be racist? I didn't say
because.
Hey, I'm almost in Beaumont, and I got a perfect signal. Meanwhile, me and Joel live in Sugar Land, Missouri City, and we can't get a signal. Tell Dow to turn the damn satellite south.
And Nick's out in most.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. Thank you for not being racist. We appreciate it.
I thought he was going to do the call.
No, I won't allow it.
Yay, me!
Hey, let me do it.
Okay, fine. Do it. Be racist. Go ahead.
Okay.
No.
Just fade
him off.
Sounds like Asian porn.
No. God, that was racist. My goodness, Jerry. That was so racist.
Oh, Jerry. Good job.
This really felt like Granado and Salisbury, like a flashback, like the best of. Like this was. Do they still do that, by the way? Do they still do?
It's funny. I haven't heard it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. No. And by the way, Yankee fan,
yeah.
You've got the leader in strikeouts from 2017 in Aaron Judge. And guess where Stanton clocked in? 17th in the majors in strikeouts. So they're going to strike out. You can see, you're going to be booing a lot if that's the case.
Yeah, those they're two guys in the middle of the lineup, it is feast or famine. And yes, they will famine as much as they will feast.
Between the two of them, you ready? 371 strikeouts last year. It's going to happen. Just get used to it. This song sucks. You lost.
I was just going to say.
Charles.
Yeah, well, it sucks.
You have no clue.
This song sucks.
I tell you what else you can suck.
Yes. Go ahead.
Suck it. Okay. How about that?
Okay.
Go get a fish tank. All right, 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go of the big show. In that final hour, the music will suck. The content will be great.
Nope.
So fasten your seatbelts and get ready for the final hour. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
So I'll just live my life.
What?
Things are never.